same things. Take ice cream. We like different flavors. And we don't always see things the same. Once you called me a name, and I returned the favor. But you are my best friend forever.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another edition of the interview show here at PW Ponderings and the Pro Wrestling Ponderings Podcast Network. My name is Jerome Cuson, and
joining me on the line right now, I have three people, two of which are BFFs, but for the purposes of PWP, he's kind of my wrestling BFF. We haven't podcasted in a while, but so I'm glad that Kevin Ford and I are reunited again. Kevin, how you doing?
I'm doing great. I'm ready to talk some wrestling with you. It's been far too long.
It has been far too long, but we do have a couple of guests. They are going to be participating in ISW's Burger King of the Ring 2 Double Whopper this Saturday in Danbury, Connecticut, at the Heirloom Arts Theater, 155 Main Street. Doors open at 7. Tickets start at $15. For more information, go to interspecieswrestling.com. They're going to be talking about this tournament, plus some of their other bookings, plus some other wrestling-related stuff. First off, he is the FIP Heritage Champion and an all-around good dude. The return of Gran Akuma to PWP. Gran Akuma, how's it going?
I'm going good. Hey, what's up, guys? Hey, BFF.
Hey, buddy.
And that wonderful man is the, I guess you could say he is one half of the last Campeonatos de Parejas in Chikara history. And he has been a man about town these last few months, making appearances for DGUSA and a whole host of others. He is Jigsaw. Jigsaw, how's it going tonight?
Hey, what's going on, guys? I'm doing good. Hey, BFF.
Hey.
So I guess this is the sort of shenanigans that we can expect this Saturday at ISW, to just treating each other like BFFs, hugging, holding hands, all that good stuff, right?
Oh, yeah. It's not shenanigans. It's a way of life when you have a BFF. That's just a way of life.
What's funny is we weren't always BFFs. The way this whole BFF thing started is for about 3 years, I wouldn't be his friend on Facebook. So there was a great deal of turmoil for a while, and then once we became Facebook friends, we very quickly became BFFs.
Is it true that you're not really friends until you're Facebook friends?
Apparently.
That was my theory, so I was heartbroken when I'd see him in real life. I'd be like, come on, just, you know, like my status or something. Let's do this. But he wasn't about it.
I didn't even give him the closure of denying him. I just let him sit in limbo for about 3 years. And then one day I finally accepted his friend request. And
Wasn't it awkward at shows to, like, see each other and to know that that Facebook request wasn't being met?
I think I enjoyed the awkward. Like, I played up the awkwardness for all it was worth.
I was telling you guys earlier, I would hug him and he wouldn't hug me back. I was heartbroken. I didn't know what was going on.
But now you guys are a team for ISW. And why don't you talk a little bit about the opportunity to finally... Is this your first time wrestling as a duo in pro wrestling?
I can tell you it is not.
Yeah. All right. Of course, Kevin Ford knows this.
I was doing some research through cagematch.net, a great database for wrestling. And it's funny you guys are called BFFs because I think in trios matches, you've been on the same side about 5 times. And I think the only time I can think of you guys were ever a tag team was in the 06 TPI during a gauntlet match.
Yeah. Oh, shit. That's right.
We're in a tag team battle royal that made no sense whatsoever. I remember that very much.
That
was one of the most fun things I've ever been a part of in the history of anything.
That was the famous Lion Cock match, yeah.
Yeah, that's where we got hit in the balls. That was a good match. That's fun.
It was super fun.
Totally.
So yeah, but that's the funny thing. You call yourselves BFFs, and you've at least wrestled each other about 10 times more than you've ever teamed with each other.
Yes, absolutely.
Well, let's think about this. You get into arguments with your friends, right? You know, like...
Yeah, but not that many arguments with my friends.
Well, it depends on how long you've been friends for. The longer you've been friends, the more arguments you'll get into. You see? You gotta do the math.
I mean, we still fight all the time.
Oh, all the time.
like regular basis. Like, for example, there's this place Jigsaw goes and works out where like other people work out. It's like the gym or something. And like, he's really upset that I don't do that.
Yeah, I don't know if most people know this, but Akuma he's never set foot inside a gym. He just has a weight bench and a stationary bike in his house, and that's why he's jacked. Like, that's it. Like, and then he eats brownies and cookies and tweets me pictures of pizza and what I assume was a giant cookie pie, I'm like blowing egg whites down my throat, and it's disgusting.
Dude, that cookie pizza thing from Papa John's is awesome.
Yes.
Oh, so it's real. Okay. I was like, I saw a picture of it. I don't know what it was.
You thought it was Photoshopped or something, didn't you?
I was like, what is this creation?
I think the cookie pizza may be better than the real pizza for Papa John's.
It is.
I had a cookie muffin the other day from Panera. It was okay at best.
Yeah, the Muffy. It's called a Muffy, of all things, and it's not.
That's what it was. A Muffy. Yeah, my girlfriend got the Muffy, and I tried a piece of it, and I wasn't a huge fan of it.
So, Kevin, make with the questions. You're the Chikar expert, so I will defer to you.
I've got so many questions from people here. So, we'll go down the list. First, I'll start with some questions from Justin Houston, who is my Chikara partner in crime on the website for the longest time. And I'll go back and forth, and he has some questions for both of you as well. This is a pretty popular question I got for you, Jigsaw, and I'm sure you get this very often, but just general questions about your mask. Have you ever thought about removing it, maybe adding a mouth port or something to it to breathe more easily? I think I remember you discussing this before, how you really wanted to modify your mask for sight or breathing purposes.
Yeah, like, when I was in Ring of Honor, they took it off, which I'm sure probably when I was one of the worst things that I've ever been a part of, and it wasn't because of the fact that I took it off. It was the way it came off and how I wasn't a fan of the way it came off and how I wanted, my own say in it, and I didn't get much say in it. And so I don't think to do that experiment again, because I just assume that if we were to do it again, people would just automatically, they would just be reminded of the failure that was the first one and automatically not give it a shot. But I do have a mask with a mouth port, which is nice, because you can breathe and stuff like that. And so I have thought about it, but nothing in the works at the moment.
Is that ultimately what you would want to do?
Mouth port or the yeah. or the yeah, I mean, yeah, ultimately, because I like the way it looks. I like the style. I think it's unique. I think it's different. And I think a lot of people who don't know me and see me for the first time, this happens a lot, is they just assume I'm an El Generico ripoff. But I get that quite often, and I'm like, no, I wrestled him a bunch, and I've been wrestling just as long as him. So if I removed it, that would just only make people be like, oh, yeah, this guy's, the ripoff. And I'm trying to be my own thing, but I don't know. I like it with them without it, because, like I said, it has a unique look to it.
If nothing else, at least you taking off your mask gave us the picture of you being compared to Sid from Ice Age.
Yeah, Eddie Kingston was really, really big fan of that. He really was.
I can only imagine. I guess the next question I have for you, Akuma, from Justin is, how close does he feel his real personality is to the perceived in-ring persona?
I think more so now than before. Like, before, I think everybody thought I scowl all the time and listen to Hatebreed. And, like, I'm really not that angry. so I think the Texaco turn kind of let me be more of me. Because I have, like, a lot of times when people meet me for the first time, or, like, I think even, like, when I've done interviews before, people are kind of surprised by my sense of humor, because they think I'm all serious all the time, and I'm really not. So I think nowadays I'm very close to my real self. But before, I was like 24/7. I was kind of asked to be something different than what I am.
Hmm. Well, the next question I actually asked was, is there a soft side to Akuma, and what does that involve?
I think so, like, especially, like, obviously with my wife, there's a soft side, but one thing that might surprise people is I really like kids. I'm really good with kids, and a lot of, like, you wouldn't expect that, especially if you saw, like, my early wrestling work, But a lot of times, if I'm at a place with a bunch of small children, I'm like the guy that has little kids climbing all over him. And I don't think people would expect that of Gran Akuma at all.
No, not at all. Was this more when you were wearing the mask back in the day?
Both, actually.
Okay. There you go. All right, back to Jigsaw. He just wants to know, you went from pants that went over your shins to the traditional under-the-boot style trunks, and you, or not trunks, but tights, rather. And he wants to know why. And he bets that it's because of your kicks.
I went from pants to tights. I always thought I didn't have, my legs weren't thick enough to wear tights. And then I had a conversation once where someone was like, if you want to be taken seriously, you'll get rid of those pants. They're like, you know, those, you know, people aren't, when they won't take you seriously with like pleather pants. So I was like, all right, you know, and I felt like I was, got my legs a little thicker, and I was like, okay, like, you know, I'll give it a shot. And I'll never go back. I think it looks way more professional. I feel better in them, and I'm actually working up to bikers right now. So that's the next step. Kuma really likes that idea.
I pick on him about this all the time. Like, the first time he got them, I just sat next to him, and I looked over at him, and I was kind of like, tights, huh? I just shook my head.
I mean,
what's the problem with tights?
Exactly. What's the problem with tights? Okay. Here's a fact. Here's a little tidbit. The very first pair of tights that the Gran Akuma ever wore in a Chikara ring belonged to me. He didn't have. Well, what did you? You're not coming in time. What happened? You only got the mask.
Yeah, that was what happened. I my mask came in, but my tights didn't. So for entirely too long, I borrowed your tights.
Yeah, so he had my tights because before Chikara, I went to like a really shitty wrestling school, and I wore tights because they wouldn't let me wear trunks. They're like, no, they wouldn't let me wear like the baggy pants. I was like, no, this is what you wear. So I had these tights that I wore, and I was like, oh, you know, I'm gonna be Jigsaw. I'll never use these blue and silver things again. So they just happened to match his mask pretty well.
That's a pretty interesting tidbit. I did not know that.
Geeking out right now. I can tell.
A little bit. Now, these are questions for both of you guys. Is there any move that you would like to add to your repertoire, or that you tried to add to your repertoire, but for one reason or another, it didn't work out? Now, Kuma, I know you've actually fielded to your fans on Twitter before what moves they like, what they don't, way they want to add it back in, et cetera, et cetera. So I'll have you answer that question first.
Anything I want to add? One thing I've been meaning to, like, I've been kind of working up to, like, for a while I had a really bad neck injury, so I didn't do anything with a bridge. I've always wanted to do a tiger suplex, just because it, like, I really came up on, like, the, like, mid to late 90s Japanese juniors, and that's, like, in my mind, a classic junior heavyweight move, so that's something I've always wanted to do, but right now I don't have a good enough bridge, and I refuse to do a crappy tiger suplex, so I will wait until I can do a good one.
Jigsaw, what about you?
Mandible claw.
Damn right.
All right, this is kind of an inside joke. I feel like you guys need to explain this a little bit.
Sure. It was night two after King of Trios 2011 weekend. It was night two. I was at Downey's with a group of my friends, just eating, having some beer, shooting the shit. Jigsaw comes over, just chatting to us, telling some awesome Sweeney stories, because that was kind of the topic of the weekend, aside from the tournament itself. That was also the night where the great Sasuke sang Living on a Prayer and is now down in infamy with everybody who was there. We'll never forget that night. But and I've heard you do this. You do this, Jigsaw. You'll say to people, like, you go to fans, you'll say, like, you know, give me a move, and I'll try to incorporate into our move into my next match. And I think you're facing Ultimate Spider Jr. on the next night. And I was just thinking, I was like, what's like an absurd move that doesn't fit at all, that does not fit his moveset, that you would not expect for, because like, I asked you to do like a super kick or something like that. Like, well, that's expected. I want something just completely ridiculous. So I just said mandible claw. And we had to think for a second, because we didn't remember if Ultimate Spider Jr. had a mouth port on his mask. And then we decided he did. You were like, all right, mandible claw, let's do it.
Continue.
No, well, then the match happens. You win, but the mandible claw didn't happen. But the best part is my friends and I are in the front row, and as you're coming back slapping fans, you just say, sorry, I couldn't do the mandible claw. I couldn't incorporate it in. And we just had a laugh. We're like, oh, that's okay. Next time.
So that kind of how that happened was I was out at a bar one night, and a couple of fans came over to me, and they're like, oh, you know, like, you know, we really, you know, we like your work and all that stuff. Like, can we buy you a drink? So I was like, yeah, of course. You know, I won't turn down free beer. So I'm like, yeah, of course, you know. And I started bullshitting with them, and I was like, I always feel bad, like, taking stuff from people. Like, I'm always just like, hold on one second, guys. I apologize.
So I guess we're not going to see Amazon wish lists from Jigsaw.
Oh, no, I'm really against that. I'm sorry, I had a knock on my door. So I was just like, let me do something for you guys. And they're like, oh, well, would you hit a move in your match for us tomorrow? And I was like, yeah, sure, why not? Like, and I think it was like a Samoan drop or something like that. And so that has become like a regular thing. Like, a fan buys me a drink. I'm like, oh, great, you're going to be at the show? What's a move you want to see me do? Like, and I'll try and incorporate some really random move. I've done flapjacks. I've done, like, real rock bottoms, I know. I've done a people's elbow, like. So, I mean, it's just a fun way. But back to the original question. No, I like my moveset where it is. Maybe a moonsault, but I can't backflip, as odd as that sounds. I'm not very athletic, so I can't backflip.
Shame. All right, here's questions for both of you. Now that Chikara is on hiatus, what is it like wrestling without a home promotion? Or is there another promotion that you have adopted as your home promotion?
Akuma, you can go first.
All right. To be honest, like I feel like bad for a lot of the Chikara guys because a lot of the Chikara guys aren't wrestling as much as they used to. But I'm actually, like, I've been very aggressive about seeking booking, so I'm actually wrestling more. Right now, FIP is kind of my home. Like, I've been able to win a championship there, so obviously that makes it important. But also, like, they just want me to be a pure wrestler. So I get to be me turned up to 11 when I'm down there. And I'm having a lot of fun with it. Two, they're giving me a lot of really good opponents. And I think there's a lot of, like, I wish people paid more attention to FIP. Like, they kind of, they're off the radar a bit because they went away for a while. Now they've just recently come back only a few months ago, but there's a lot of really good stuff going on down there that I think people are missing out on, but that's definitely my top priority right now.
Yeah, I agree. I always felt that about FIP, that they were like, I don't know, like people were missing out on what was going on down there. Like even when we would take those regular trips down there, like I think it was like 07, 08, 09, like when we'd be down there for those double shot weekends, like that, you know, those are some of the most, I look forward to those a lot. As far as I'm in the same boat as Akuma, like, you know, with it going away, my schedule's filled up and I've been going to, you know, different places and, you know, working for new companies that I never worked for before because the Chikara schedule was pretty demanding. Most recently it was you know almost like two weekends a month at times. And so now with the schedule open up, I'd really like NYWC. I go there and I train. So NYWC is a place. FWE is another place that I consider like home base for me, and even like the Drag Eat and Evolve stuff. So I wouldn't say I have a home base. I found newer promotions now, with Chikara being, you know, gone. So
there you go. Well, Kuma, you brought up FIP, so I'll get back to Justin's question in a second. But Ben Turpin, at Ben Turpin on Twitter, he wanted me to ask you about your recent encounter with Slick Wagner Brown. I presume he means the match you had with him in FIP a few weeks ago.
Actually, I really enjoyed it. Normally, I prefer to wrestle like junior heavyweights because I'm a junior heavyweight. If it were up to me, everybody would stay in their own weight class. But there was a kind of a rash. Like I wrestled UHA Nation, I wrestled Slick, I wrestled a couple of really big guys, and I actually really enjoyed the match. I did my first tope for, I think it was the first time I've done one since like 2007, because I nearly died in 2007 doing it, so I stopped. But no, I really enjoyed the match. I was really proud of it. And the FIP fans are kind of warming up to me at first. They weren't at first. Now they are. But no, I really enjoyed it. There was no DMX, which I'm sure some people will be disappointed with. But as far as the actual match goes, I was really happy with it.
It's iPay-per-view, unfortunately. No DMX allowed. There you go. What are you guys currently digging in the wrestling scene right now?
You go first.
What'd you say?
I said you go first. I keep going first.
Oh, I think all the stuff going on in New Japan is awesome. I think the Bullet Club is like the best thing going in wrestling. So that I'm really into. I'm one of those guys. I watch Raw every week, you know, and I watch Impact when I can. So, to me personally, I think all the stuff going on with New Japan right now is probably the best stuff going on right now and the most intriguing to me. Like I said, I really think the Bullet Club stuff's really cool. I like Okada as a champ over there. So that to me, that's the most intriguing thing. I was going to say the chase for Brian, but it seems that's going in a different direction now. So that's what I think is the most entertaining thing going on currently.
Honestly, I'm really I'm wrestling's eternal optimist in a lot of ways.
You really are. Every time I'm on Twitter, and you know, that's just I feel like especially when Raw's or something, I just go hate. Hey, Akuma said something nice.
I'm with them on the Raw hate now. I'm not a fan of the recent kind of change in direction that they seem to be taking. But as much as people rag on TNA, I think TNA is making a lot of steps in the right direction. There's been a lot of creative changes, so they can't do a complete about face. They kind of have to gradually change, and I think all of those changes have been good changes. Jigsaw said, New Japan's on fire right now, so that's really good. But also just the American independent scene in general. I think in the absence of Chikara, everybody's stepped up. AAW's gotten really good. AIW's gotten really good. PWG's always been really good. There's a lot of East Coast promotions that are really stepping up. So really, I think it's I'm wrestling's eternal optimist, but I think it's a really exciting time for wrestling as a whole.
Definitely. Yeah, I agree with you. I feel like there's been so many companies to really set. It's almost like, and you know, a lot of these companies have been really good, but I feel like a lot of companies, like you said, AEW and AIW are really getting some recognition with people trying to find an alternative with Chikara being out of the picture for now and everybody stepping up their game because they know it.
Yeah, definitely.
Joram, were you going to say something?
I was going to say, I'll start watching TNA again when they bring back Rubex. That's all I got
to say. I was actually going to say, the funny thing is the only time I do watch TNA is when Rubex is on.
Oh.
So there you go.
I remember when Rubex wrestled and Kevin had to review TNA. And
it was good. They're good matches. What can I say?
Because Kevin has to obsessively review everything from Chicago.
Oh, gosh. Anyways, moving quickly on. Do either of you guys, another Justin question, do you ever fantasy book yourselves in other companies, and to what extent? I think the way he means it is not like, you know, I'm sure there's wrestlers there who say like, oh, I know there's this guy out there who I'd like to wrestle one day. But is there ever a thought process you have like, you know, maybe if me and this guy could have this program and this company and do this, that would be really cool. I think that's more what he was kind of getting at.
I think I should work Cena for the belt at Mania. I honestly don't do that. I mean, there are guys out in the indies that I, you know, like, oh, you know, I'd like to work with that guy, or I'd like to work with that guy, or, you know, I'd like to show up in this promotion. But I don't think I've ever been like, well, this is how I'll make my entrance, right? And this is how I'll, you know, the lights shut off, and then I'm in the middle of an AIW ring, and I'm like, you know, like, I don't, you know. So no, I don't do anything like that.
I kind of do and I don't. Like, I don't like fantasize it that way, like I think he means. But what I do spend a lot of time doing is if I know I'm going, like when I'm booked in a match against somebody, I'll watch a bunch of their matches and my brain just like for the next 3 days is rolling. Like, he does these moves, I do these moves. How can all of this kind of, you know, weave in and out of one another? And I'm constantly thinking of ideas. So if you think of that as fantasy booking, I do that obsessively. I'm constantly studying everybody I know I'm going to be in the ring with. But as far as like the angles and the presentation and everything, I don't really like. I'm all about the wrestling, so I don't really get caught up in.
Well, it sounds like what you do is probably what most wrestlers should do when they find out who they're facing. So what do I know? All right, this last question he has. Both guys have become very well-rounded wrestlers now compared to even a few years ago, incorporating aspects of many different styles of wrestling. Was this an intentional choice, or did it happen organically as they continue to grow and learn as wrestlers?
I think, you know, if you want to evolve and you want to be the best you know, that you can be, that, you know, it, to be one-dimensional is very foolish. So I don't think it happened accidentally. I think, you know, I don't want to speak for Akuma, but I think for myself, like, you know, I want to be that guy that can have a good match with anybody. I don't want to be that guy that, oh, I'm sorry, you can't do lucha, but my whole offense is lucha, so you better get used to it. You know, like, I don't want to be that guy. I want to be the guy that I walk into a place and I want my opponent, whoever I'm working with, to feel comfortable knowing that this guy can do this style. Like, I know if I throw a heavy strike his way, like, he can send it back and he won't, you know, he won't bitch and moan at me about it later. I know that if I take him down to the mat, he can roll around with me. You know, he can counter some holds. I know, if, you know, I want to bait, you know, I'm a flyer. I can bait for flies. That just sounded like I was putting myself over huge. And that's not what I was trying to do at all. What I'm trying to say is I want to be able to learn all the styles. That way, people want to work with me. So that's probably a better way of putting it.
I'm not putting myself over, but I really think me and Cena at WrestleMania would be pretty solid.
That's not me putting it over. That's just logic.
There you go. All right, moving on to some other Twitter questions. TJ Hawk at TJ Hawk 411 asks, what other teams in the Burger King of the Ring 2 tournament are you guys most interested in wrestling?
I will go first because I immediately have an answer. I am a big fan of the Shinran Kitsune team. In particular, like, I've been working mostly singles matches lately, so like, I've been wanting to wrestle Kitsune for a while. I saw him. I think he's really impressive, and I think he and I would mesh very well and have a really good match. So I've been wanting some of Kitsune for a while, but, and like, not to say Shinran isn't an incredibly spectacular guy either, so I think there's no way that wouldn't be amazing.
For anyone who hasn't seen it, Kitsune and AR Fox had a match in ISW that was legitimately a dark horse, like, match of the year candidate. I mean, it was that good, and definitely people should be keeping an eye out for Kitsune.
Agreed.
No, that's a team I'd like to work with as well, as you know, and obviously I want to work with the Mads. You know, those guys are always fun. So I thought those are my two top choices. And Dan Barry, like, I really want to work with him.
Go ahead.
I'm also like, as kind of the dark horse team in the show, especially as fun and crazy as ISW is. I am a huge fan of Glad Bad. I think Glad Bad is wildly entertaining. So, in a completely different direction, Glad Bad, and I think he's still referred to as Craigslist Homo. That would be entertaining in a completely different way at the same time. So I'll throw that out there too.
Now, have you been doing your studying of Tabernacle Team, your opponents in the first round?
Yes,
I did only see. I saw a match of theirs. I saw them versus Kevin Steen and Frankie the Mobster. That's the only thing I was able to find of theirs while searching for them.
Yeah, I've seen like one or two other matches. They're basically their offense is they kill everyone. And they like every double.
Not me, motherfucker.
Yeah. So I think it's definitely gonna be a rough night at the office, but I kind of like those. So I'm.
You guys got this. No sweat. All right. At Big Ben 213, our good buddy Ben Gordon, he wants to know where you guys feel you rank amongst the best friends ever. And as a disclaimer, he says you guys are not better than Corey and Sean from Boy Meets World.
Oh.
Well, yeah, obviously. I mean, let's not be silly.
Yeah.
I like to think we rank pretty high, as like we've kind of killed each other in the past, and I think though, like, when you overcome that, that's the best kind of best friends.
I have to agree. I think we're in the top. I'd say we're in the top five. Top five.
Definitely.
Yeah, I don't think you guys have. You guys had a match against each other since the Dragon Gate USA 8-man from the first anniversary show, and it was a Kamikaze versus Chikara Sekigun.
No,
it's
the last time we've been in a ring together.
So there you go. Three years of all that push put behind you. You guys can be friends now. All that old there stuff from the past.
Best that time you nearly killed me in Easton with a gin and tonic off the top.
Yeah, funny enough, I do see that from the matches I have, I was able to find that you guys had four singles matches against each other that I was able to find. Three in Chikara, one in Fight Sports Midwest. And oh, yeah. Jigsaw won three out of the four of those. What's that about?
I'm really good.
There he is. That's why he's going to be wrestling soon. <that morning. laughs>
So does that make Jigsaw the captain of the team since he won three out of the four singles?
No, there's no captains in BFS. No. We're a unit. There's no captain here. We're both driving this ship.
I don't know. I think you're Brett and I'm Neidhart. I think.
Oh boy.
Maybe Jigsaw can reach over and stroke your beard like Hawk did randomly in one promo with Jim Neidhart.
Nice.
When everyone was on cocaine when they did promos back in the day.
So that was a good old days.
Mm-hmm.
Good old days.
Did you know you wanted to be Team BFF, or were there any alternate tag names you guys were throwing around before settling on that?
No, I'm pretty sure it was just like, this was empty.
Yeah. Like, really, like, the way this came about was, like, we'd been calling each other BFFs long before we were going to team together. But Jigsaw just happened to randomly tweet ISW. He's like, hey, if you got an open spot in this tournament, I know a certain BFF that would team with me. And as it turned out, they had a team cancel. So,
wow.
By crazy chance, they were like, hey, are you guys seriously down for this? And we're like, we are absolutely down for this.
Yep. So,
What happened was that Jigsaw tweeted him, and the other team was like, that guy's the best wrestler in the world. We need to stand aside and give him our spot out of respect. Who knows? If he never sent that tweet, you know, we wouldn't be here talking right now.
I know. I would have been at Dragon Gate USA on that Saturday instead, because they were like, oh, like you know, this is where you are. And I'm like, no, I have ISW this weekend. So, I mean, I'm really pumped I was on the very first ISW show. I think the last time I was there was, God, I don't even remember how many years ago. I was wearing pants back then. That's how long ago it was.
Dang.
But,
really, the last time
yeah,
you were
right?
there, you were wearing jeans, because it was when we did the old school Chikara six man.
Well, I didn't wrestle. I was just there. I did commentary.
Yeah, why don't you guys, since that was actually the last Burger King of the Ring event, why don't you tell us about that six-man you had, the tribute to Larry Sweeney match?
The way that came about is actually, my wife is Canadian. She is, she's known the ISW guys longer than I have. And they had put together a music video that they were going to play in tribute to Sweeney. And they had sent it to her, like, kind of like a unlisted YouTube gimmick. And they asked me to watch it and tell them what I thought. And I had been throwing around the idea of getting a bunch of the guys together and doing an old, like a match from like back in the day when we used to do the old Chikara touring six man. It was kind of a tribute to Sweeney, because I felt like everybody was kind of mourning his death, and I really wanted to celebrate his life, because he was such an upbeat, happy guy a lot of the time. And I think everyone was kind of stuck on the sad part of it, and they didn't want to celebrate the good parts of him. And I really wanted to do that. So I approached ISW with the idea about it, and they were all for it. And 3.0 and I believe Jolly Roger were already going to be involved in a tag match. And they ended up basically giving us their spot on the card that was already booked in order to facilitate this six-man. So that's kind of how that all came about.
And it was a really, really fun match. I think it was a nice throwback to the Chikara of old, and really just a nice tribute to Sweeney overall. It was certainly a highlight of the show. And it's on YouTube in completion for free out there for anybody who has not seen it, and I highly recommend giving it a look. So there you go. This seems like a really silly question, but I'm going to ask it anyways. You both would be interested in wrestling for PWG, right? We can just assume that.
I'm pretty sure everybody is interested in wrestling for PWG.
That's why I say it's pretty silly.
Yes, I would agree.
That's where the best wrestling in the world is going down right now, man. Or at least the most fun.
Yeah. And it's not a bad response, so you understand the wrestler's perspective. Every wrestler that's ever worked there puts that over as just wrestler's utopia. Like some companies you go and you deal with it, or you know, it's important to your career for a certain reason. Like that's where you go there and you're like, this is what I dreamed wrestling would be like every night. So that's kind of, a lot of times like guys get frustrated with where they're working, or they're doing things to pay the bills, or they're doing things because it's going to get them from point A to point B. That's the place where they go and they're like, this is what makes it worth it. So it's not just the fan adulation that makes PWG, the wrestlers genuinely love being there. That's why everybody wants to wrestle there.
Let's make this question a little more interesting. If you were to go to PWG, say for All-Star Weekend coming up, is there someone in particular that you would like to face in front of that crowd?
You got one, buddy? I'm thinking.
I mean, I'd love to wrestle the Bucks. I've wrestled the Bucks, I can't tell you how many times now, and it's always one of the most fun matches I have. So, you know, I guess going over there and working with the Bucks, but I mean, I guess if I had to pick someone that I've never worked with before, who's over there. Tommaso Ciampa. I was supposed to work him maybe 2 weeks ago, and the show got canceled like a week prior, so we never got to wrestle each other. So maybe in front of that crowd it might be cool, but I mean, I'm sure anyone, maybe I'd wrestle my BFF over there, and it would be fun, you know?
You know, Ciampa's actually a name I thought of that I would like to see Akuma face. I think their styles would be really fun to mesh together.
Yeah, I would have him, or another guy that PWG uses on a regular basis that I've always wanted to wrestle is Kyle O'Reilly. I think he and I would have a really good match.
Oh, yeah.
But really, like, PWG is just all-star from top to bottom. So there's really, like, there's not a bad match to be had on that roster.
Yeah, I do like the idea of Team BFF going there and having some matches with the Bucks or the Rockness Monsters or those guys.
Or the other best
friends.
What if we got BFF versus best friends?
Yes, which, by the way, I'm going to call bullshit on that because I don't think Trent and Chuck Taylor have known each other as long as Akuma and Jigsaw.
When we were announced as Team BFF, I had gotten a tweet from someone. I wish I could remember whoever the person was tweeting me, but saying that we had ripped off Beretta and Chuck's team name. And I had to go out and search for it because I had no idea that that's what they called themselves. And then I saw Beretta maybe like a week later, and I was like, fuck, man, like, the timing couldn't have been worse. And he was just like, nah, he's like, we're just best friends. He's like, nah, man, we're just best friends. You guys are best friends forever. And I'm like, that's a good point. That's a good point. So we are different.
You're best friends for now. They're just
They're just best friends for now. I think they're actually wrestling each other at Dragon Gate. Like, come on, friends don't do that. Let's be honest.
Not anymore, anyways. Now that you brought up Chuck Taylor, here's another interesting question that I have for you. Any interest in going after the 24/7 hardcore title?
I had it in my possession.
Yes, that's right. I had it,
and then Green Edge stole it from me.
You had to super kick poor Zia to get the belt.
Yeah, I super kicked Zia right in her face, and I had the belt. I had the belt, and I don't know if you saw the video, but I was dressed to the nines because I knew I was going to walk out of there a champion.
Now, this is a little spoiler because I actually interviewed Zia for an episode of Fan to Fan. I don't know which one of those is going to go up first, but her contention is that Chuck Taylor's 24/7 hardcore title rule is actually under the same rules as the DDT would. So when she got super kicked by you, the camera was actually on top of her, and that should have been the hardcore champion.
Oh, this is...
This is scandalous.
It's very scandalous. I mean, to be fair, I had the belt in my possession.
Sure.
All right. I should have just got down. I should have just pinned it, but I was too excited, and I lifted it straight in the air, and that sneaky little bastard Greening super kick.
I think it's the only good use of Instagram possible is that hardcore title.
I think it is the best thing to come from Chikara not being around anymore, is that 24/7 hardcore title.
There's one with the Estonian Thunder Frog that just recently went up, which may be my favorite thing I've seen under the hardcore title.
Which one is that?
The one where he has the rip shirt on, and he just starts profanely cursing at a
Max Smashmaster.
I
saw that and I was like, oh man, people need to stop teaching the Thunder Frog swear words and swear words only.
It kind of freaks me out. Every time I hear a Chikara wrestler swear, it kind of freaks me out a little bit.
Yeah, people always, I remember I did Arya Mutsal's show once. This is like when I first went down there and Necro Butcher was there, and he saw me at a bar afterwards and he's just like, what are you doing here? And I was like, I'm going to get a beer. And he's just like, no, come on, man. Let's just call our guys to go back where we comic books or some shit. So I was like, what? Like, no. Not all of us. I mean, maybe some of us. Not all of us.
Everybody thinks we're straight edge.
Yeah. Everyone just thinks we're like, you know, we wrestle and then we go back to our hotel rooms and we play Magic the Gathering and then we go to sleep and we wake up and... You know?
Wait, you don't do that? That's a
no, no, unfortunately.
Well, that'd be like if someone after CZW, like, when someone's like, you're not injecting yourself with needles and, like, cutting yourself? What? That doesn't make any sense.
God.
Just saying. On to another question. We're on the topic of Chikara. Omega Red at Red Empire. He wants to know your guys' thoughts on what went down at the FDR skate park a couple weeks ago.
I don't know. Like, to tell you the truth, I know that there's some stuff out there, and I know that guys are doing some stuff. I haven't really kept up on what is happening. I mean, I had heard that they were putting a show together, and then something happened. I don't know. So I really don't have any thoughts on it because I haven't seen it, and I really don't know what happened. I just know that whatever's happening, I have my eyes focused on what I'm doing and what's best for me and what's my next step forward. So I'm not busy going through endless pages of a fan forum or anything like that. I'm focusing on where I'm wrestling next week, what I need to do to get in better shape so that I can pursue myself. So unfortunately, I don't know what happened, so I don't have any thoughts on it.
Focusing on your next Magic the Gathering deck of cards.
Yep. Yeah. I'm trying to get that.
No, I'm the same. I haven't really been keeping up with it either. I'm just kind of like, I have a bunch of bookings, but I'm focusing on them because they're happening. I'm a big fan of shows that are happening.
Yeah, that sounds like the right thing to do. I think you guys have the right idea.
I'll make it unanimous. I like shows that are happening.
Right. That's my favorite, Chikara, when shows are actually happening. Hmm. Actually, we have a celebrity question from Jigsaw's good friend Tony Nese. He just wants to know why is he so much cooler than you?
He's not. He's a dick.
Now, he did beat you at the NYWC a few weeks ago.
Uh oh.
Well, which, I don't know if you guys paid attention to the results, but he used brass knuckles. He hit brass knuckles in the ceiling, and then he went and got them, and then punched me in the face. It's cheating. Well, so he didn't win.
In the ceiling?
It was a really low building. Think old school Reading style. Like, you pushed that thing up, it took the breast knuckles out.
Oh, wow. There you go. So he's not cooler than you. Excellent.
No, he's not. No.
All right, well, that does it for all the fan questions that we have from Twitter. But I have a personal question I want to ask you guys. Now, last year's, or I guess it was 2 years ago, the first Burger King of the Ring tournament, the winner not only got a trophy or medals or whatever it was, but they also got a Burger King meal of their choice. If you guys are to win, and consider this your cheat day, or if you're a Kuma, I guess just any other day, what meal would you choose from Burger King?
Oh, man, I don't really eat at Burger King.
I'm gonna let you go first because my answer is gonna upset you.
Yeah,
I know it's gonna upset me.
You just wrestled. What is it gonna be? 3 matches. That's burning a lot of calories. You're gonna be real hungry when this is all said and done.
Yeah, that's a good point. I don't know. See, I don't really eat Burger King. So I guess like I don't know, a cheeseburger and chicken. I don't know. I'm really boring. I don't know. Cool. Make me angry. What are you gonna eat?
Daddy. All right, I will. My answer will be much more entertaining.
Thank you.
With all the respect.
Number 6, like number 5.
will have won three matches. So by my count, that's like an unmeasurable amount of calories. I used this same logic on the way back from FIP because I had wrestled a 30-minute draw with Swan. So in my mind, I could eat whatever I wanted because I just burned like a million calories.
Right.
Every time I've ever stopped at Burger King after a wrestling show, I get the biggest meal they have, which is the triple Whopper with cheese meal.
Oh, my God.
That sounds so good.
I distinctly remember being on an FIP trip with Sweeney, and Sweeney ranting and raving about me eating this triple Whopper with cheese meal because he had started dieting by this point because he was, like, putting on weight. He wanted to, like, slim back down. So for a good hour while driving, he's just flipping out, screaming. And the one line I remember from this is, "You're like a cow, except you have an 8-pack and they have 8 stomachs."
That's great. So the triple Whopper meal, no. What would you get to drink?
To drink? Just to annoy Jigsaw, a Diet Coke.
I was thinking, God help you. God
it's like,
help
like
you.
Fat thinner. You can eat Diet Coke and offset.
Yeah, exactly. Diet Coke is just, you know, offsets like a zero-calorie meal in that instance.
Of course.
At least he didn't say it was a milkshake or something he was going to get.
I'm sure they have, like, some kind of brownie ice cream concoction that he's going to eat.
You're warned now. My wife's bringing the cookies.
Oh, she's bringing cookies?
Jigsaw.
All right, I'll eat those. They're really good. They are really good. She brings them all the time. They're delicious. They come out for me.
You know what? Actually, I do remember I do have another actual wrestling-related question. I was only able to go to a couple Chikara shows this year, but one of them I did get to go to was the big WrestleCon show, which was massive audience, great show. But each of you got to be in the ring with kind of a luminary of pro wrestling. Akuma, you got to team with Marty Jannetty. And Jigsaw, you were across the ring from Jushin Liger. So I wanted to hear each of your guys' experiences teaming with, wrestling against, and just kind of if you had any stories from that day.
I mean, originally I was walking the convention floor during the Shimmer show, and I was able to sneak my way into the floor, and I saw Liger, like, sitting behind a booth, like, selling autographs, and I was like, shit, this dude's here, like, this is really happening. So I think my first initial moment from, like, seeing him from afar was, like, you know, because... You know, like, just, you hear you're going to wrestle this dude, and, you know, you've idolized him, and you've watched probably, like, a bajillion of his matches, and then, so, like, to see him there, I was like, oh, man, and then, like, when his music hit, and he came through the curtain, and, like, everyone lost their mind, like, I remember, like, I don't know, like, I just remember, like, looking around at everybody, and just being like, I'm the luckiest dude right now, like, on the planet, like, because I'm going to wrestle Jushin Liger. Like, it was so cool. Like, I got to wrestle Sasuke and Togo and Jinsei before, and, like, that's really cool. But this was super cool to me because, like, I was such a huge Liger fan. Like, I bought, like, a Liger mask off High Spots when I was, like, 14 years old. Like, so, like, I don't know. I can't really put it into words aside from that. It was easily a highlight of my career.
For me, it's not an exaggeration to call Marty Jannetty my childhood idol, as strange as that might sound to some people. Me and my best friend, when we were kids, we were like, we're going to grow up and be wrestlers, and we're going to be like the Rockers. And I wanted to be like Marty Jannetty, and he wanted to be like Shawn Michaels. And nobody believes me that Marty Jannetty was my favorite rocker, but he genuinely was, because I understood why Shawn Michaels was the bigger star, but I always felt like he was the better wrestler. And even when I was a kid, that was what was more important to me. So getting to wrestle, you know, getting to team with him was really cool. Getting to team with him in front of that crowd was really cool. One of the coolest things that happened was he had a conversation with my wife later. And apparently the MP4 Ryan McBride flippy DVD thing that I've been doing, I did that, and in his conversation with my wife, he mentioned it to my wife and popped for it. So probably the coolest moment for me that weekend was that a guy I idolized growing up was marking out for something I did to my wife later on after the show.
That is really awesome.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah. All right, Jerome, I've successfully monopolized this entire show. What do you have for me?
This is what happens when I invite Kevin on to do these shows. He just takes over. He's got a big ego, guys. We gotta feed it.
I think I carried that pretty well.
I think you do. I think you try. You get a nice A for effort.
I had stats and numbers and questions.
You did math. I mean, yeah. You know, that doesn't happen very often when you do math.
I did just as much research as Akuma does for one of his matches, so I think it's pretty appropriate.
And I guess I do as much as Jigsaw, so it works out. So for both of you, is there a possibility of a freeze frame high five on Saturday?
I wouldn't rule it out.
Yeah, I wouldn't rule it out.
Is that something that you guys work out, or do you just do it spontaneously?
I think we're much bigger on the hug.
Like, yeah, we're big hug guys.
That hug level of BFF. I think we're past the high five, but it might find its way in there.
I've actually thought of a secret handshake that I was going to show you on Saturday that I think is pretty cool.
What's funny is, like, I have, like, six double teams for us, and he's got a secret handshake. And what's going to happen is we're going to nail all the double teams, and then I'm going to blow the handshake.
That's right.
Look, you come up with a double team list. I found the entrance music. Okay, I'll come up with a secret handshake. It's going to be great. It's going to be great.
Well, perfect team. You're the style. I'm the substance.
Can you tell us what the theme song is, or is this a secret to be revealed on Saturday?
No, I tweeted out to IFW. If you want to see it, I put the link on IFW's wall, so you should be able to see it.
It's actually going to be the music for this very podcast.
Oh, well, okay, so then you already know what it is, listener, and I'm not going to look it up for you.
You've heard about 30 seconds of it beforehand, so it's going to be great. It's going to be great.
It is fantastic. We could not have better entrance music. By the way, as a quick side, I love that ISW was surprised we were serious. Did you get that?
Yeah. Of all places, like that place was like, are you guys
okay?
If we're serious?
Yeah, I did see this. I did see this tweet. I remember.
We're very serious.
All the time. So
this song. I'm sorry. I'm just laughing just thinking about the song now.
So I think that the question that I want to know the most is, if you guys were in a buddy cop movie, which one of you would be the good cop and which one of you would be the bad cop?
Oh, who would be the bad cop?
Yeah, definitely. But like,
I thought that was a
like, I'm like Mel Gibson in the Lethal Weapon movies, like crazy kind of bad cop.
But Akuma did talk about his love for kids, so I didn't just want to assume that he was the bad cop.
Yeah.
It just makes sense.
He might be the bad cop. Akuma, yeah. I feel a lot more bitter than I used
to. Akuma would be the scary cop. I'm not necessarily mean that he's a bad cop, but he'd definitely be the scary cop.
Definitely. So, Akuma, you've wrestled in a lot of singles matches this year, but I think the ones that are most memorable have happened in Florida. You had a match in Chikara with Johnny Gargano, and I think a lot of people sort of, maybe they rediscovered some of your abilities when you wrestled Gargano in Ybor City.
Honestly, I think I did as well. Like, to be honest, I had a bad run. I was hurt, I shouldn't have been wrestling, and I kind of, like, I went downhill for a while. But I read a lot of the criticisms, and unlike most wrestlers, I took it to heart, and I used it to make myself better rather than just blowing it off. And I spent about a year reinventing myself, and that match with Johnny Gargano was kind of the culmination of that. So since then, actually, like I said earlier, I've been hitting up other promotions and aggressively seeking out work. That's one of the matches I send to people. Like, this is an example of what I do now. Like, if you have a spot for this guy, great. If you want the old guy that just kicks people in the face all the time, you're better off not booking me because you're not going to get that guy.
And what did it mean to you? I mean, Gargano essentially replaced you in Fist, and, you know, obviously he's a guy that's gotten so much better in the last couple of years as well. So from that perspective, was it extra meaningful?
Oh, absolutely. It was one of those situations where, to be honest, I was surprised it was as well received as it was, because Johnny Gargano, like, by my count, is kind of a man right now in American independent wrestling. So on one hand, he is the measuring stick. But on the other hand, it was one of those things where, like, I almost expected people to see the match and be like, oh, I guess Gargano can carry anybody. And that really turned a lot more people's heads than I thought it would. I thought I'd have to have a couple more of those before people kind of started to believe in me again. But that match really did a lot for me, and really changed a lot of, I think it changed a lot of fans' minds, and it changed a lot of like bookers and promoters' minds about me as well. So it was a victory in every sense of the word.
And Jigsaw, in the first half of the year, you had a chance to really team with the Shard, and you guys developed some really good chemistry. And obviously, you ended up with the titles, the Tag World Grand Prix. What was it like this year, sort of being a little bit, you know, you wrestling as a Rudo and wrestling with a new partner?
I enjoy it because I felt I was very stale and stagnant for a long time, especially with just, you know, like, team with Mike for so long and just, you know, being babyface for as long as I had. So to change it up, it kind of gave me new life, which is good because you never want to be, you know, you never want to just, you know, plateau. You always want to keep going up and up and up, and I feel like I had plateaued. So I feel like this helped, like, give me that boost of, you know, creative energy again. So it was great. I really enjoyed it.
And do you have a favorite match? I mean, obviously, you've teamed in Chikara. You've done a little bit in DGUSA, wrestling the Bravados. Do you have any, like, a favorite match that you two have had thus far? Obviously, we'll say the Liger match doesn't count because that's a different situation. So any favorites besides that one?
I actually hate everything they do. So, I don't know. I hate all my matches.
I find the most successful wrestlers say that too.
It's so funny. It's like, I'll come back from a match and, I'll just like be like really upset. Like my girlfriend just, she wouldn't even pay. Like at first she would humor me and she'd be like, no, you're good. And now she's just like, shut up. And she won't even talk to me. Like, she'll just blow me off. Like she hates hearing it. But it's true because I'm really nitpicky. Like I'll pick the smallest things to be upset about and it'll drive me crazy. But if I had to pick one, I wrestled Cannon and Corbin, the Tag World in Chikara, and I every time I get to wrestle Cannon and Corbin, it's always a lot of fun. So I'd say that's probably that's the one I had probably the most fun doing. So I'll pick that one because I had the most fun doing it.
And Akuma, you were recently involved in AEW's tag team tournaments, and I'm just going to say two words, and then I want you to talk about it. Lethal Weapons.
That was, this is a classic case of me being a more fun-loving, the real Mimi. It's 12 hours from Philly to Chicago. So it's a long trip. And during the course of this trip, Gulak and I were obsessing over Steve Blackman. I don't know how Steve Blackman came up, but somehow along the trip it came up. So we're talking about Steve Blackman, going on about Steve Blackman. We look up his Wikipedia page, and Wikipedia insists to us that there have been times where he did a top rope bicycle kick. And none of us can remember this. So we search YouTube, and we find it. And to our astonishment, he didn't, like, blow out his knees or anything. Because we're like, how is this even possible? So over the course of the trip, we're more and more obsessed with Steve Blackman, obsessed with Steve Blackman. So then, finally, like, by the time we get to Chicago, we're like, we're going to be the Lethal Weapon. Like, we kind of wouldn't take no for an answer. And then, much like ISW was with Jigsaw and I's theme music, we're like, can you find, they're like, what do you guys have for theme music? We're like, can you get to Steve Blackman music? And they're like, really? We're like, yes, really. So, it was really just us obsessing over a 12-hour trip, but we're excited about the potential of being the Lethal Weapons again. We actually, there's been talk about potentially, you know, regularly going out there. Like, AIW seemed pretty happy with what we did. And our first question was, like, can we be the Lethal Weapons? And they're like, sure, you can be the Lethal Weapons. So, it was just zaniness on a road trip that spilled over into the actual show.
This is what happens when wrestlers are bored on the road. Greatness. This is how greatness happens.
I like the idea of Akuma and Gulak being like little kids asking the parent, and the parent begrudgingly is like, fine, you can be the Lethal Weapons.
Well, there's a stance.
Promo that is the birth of the Lethal Weapons that hopefully, I imagine it will be on the DVD. So when that DVD comes out, you will see a very excited Drew Gulak.
I mean, if it's not on the DVD, I know exactly the people to yell at. So.
And we will.
Dr. Keith.
Yeah.
He's listening. That guy.
You with your marathons. Google search
Steve Blackman top rope bicycle kick and nothing. I got no videos.
His 20 biggest singles wins or something.
Steve Blackman, some of his one-on-one wins. Oh, I'm going through this. I've already pulled it up on YouTube.
Who makes these YouTube videos?
He doesn't like land on his back like a missile drop kick. He does a bicycle kick off the top rope and lands on his feet. Like it shouldn't work.
And he doesn't age either. Like he looks exactly the same as he did when he was in WWE too.
Do you remember when he was like a jobber for WWF, like back in like the early 90s and had long hair? That's pretty weird.
I don't know. I don't remember that.
I don't even remember.
Oh, there it is.
You see it though? It's crazy. Like it shouldn't work. The five won't work.
That's pretty awesome. I was totally feeling that on Saturday.
So
I almost did it because I've been using a missile dropkick regularly, like to someone from behind, like Otani style. I almost did it off the line. Gulak was like, "I wish you did." He's like, "I would have went crazy. I wouldn't have been able to function."
You know,
he just hit the Rock with a nunchuck and beat him.
That's awesome.
Yeah, he has
also Steve Blackman's Wikipedia for his finishing moves. It says bicycle kick, comma sometimes with the top rope.
Well, that's even crazy. He's not going to do it every time.
So, against Tabernacle the team, which one of you two is breaking it out?
I'm in.
Well, I'll get on the top rope.
Jigsaw, what if you're at a bar and someone listens to this show and they tell you to do a bicycle kick from the top rope?
Yeah.
I mean, oh my God, there it is again. You did it twice in this video. There's number 8 in this one. I'm sorry, guys. I got to pause that. I'm distracted now. I'll tell them you're on. Buddy.
No, what you should tell them is I'll do that once I pay up my mandible claw that I've owed.
I'll bicycle kick him, and now while he's down, I'll mandible claw him.
I think Kevin Ford would legitimately just get, I think he would mark out.
Whatever company's DVD this happens on, I'm going to purchase, so strong selling point for one fan.
You'll buy the DVD, the MP4, and the VOD.
That's what we call putting ass in the seats.
So to speak.
All right. We've gone about an hour or so. So why don't you guys give you guys an opportunity to plug your stuff, plug your dates coming up this weekend. Jigsaw, I know you've got House of Glory and DGUSA as well, but you can also plug away on your Twitters, your Facebooks, your Instagrams, whatever social medias you're on. Jigsaw, we'll let you go first.
Yeah, well, first off, thank you guys for having us. You know, it was a blast. Time definitely flew by, so appreciate the fun interview. But, yeah, I mean, I got a busy weekend that's coming up. This Friday, me and Fire Ant, the Electric Cherry Starship Factory, or Starship Project, rather, we're at House of Glory Wrestling. If you go to houseofgloryonline.com, you get all the information for that show. Saturday, again, as we've already been promoting this whole time, we're at ISW for Burger King in the Ring 2, myself and Grand Akuma. And then on Sunday in Brooklyn, New York for DGUSA at DGUSA.tv. Again, it's myself and Fire Ant teaming up there. So a busy weekend of tag team wrestling. Also, if you want to contact me, you can do it at Twitter, at Jigsaw Chikara. If you want to shoot me an email, possibly about bookings, it's jigsawwrestling@gmail.com. Or if you just want to shoot the shit, it takes me a little bit of time to get back to those. But don't worry, I will get back to them. And I am one of the many on ProWrestlingTees.com. So you go to ProWrestlingTees.com/Jigsaw. I got like 6 or 7 different styles of shirts up there in multiple colors. Help support the cause, man. So that's it.
All the money goes directly to the wrestlers, so it is a great way of supporting your favorite individual wrestler. And a number of them have it, and Jigsaw obviously definitely deserves your love and deserves your money. So do that.
Yeah, Jigsaw also has a Vine, which he's only made one video on, which is pretty upsetting.
I have Vine, and I'm hit, because, I don't know, like, I watched John Silver's Vines, and Petey William, and Sanjay Dutt, and I'm just like, man, those are good Vines. Like, and Trent Beretta's got really good Vines, and I'm like, man, I'm not really funny or clever. Petey Williams gave me ideas for Vines that I got to get into, but, yeah, I forget I even have the app, but I got to get more, I got to get back on those Vines.
It's got to be better than Akira Tozawa's Vine. That's all I'm saying.
Oh, shake it up, man.
Shake it up. Oh, shit.
Dude, so after watching a bunch of his shake it up things, I guess I had No Explode, the pre-workout, on my mind, and then when I went into Vitamin Shop, they had it on sale for $20. So I'm like, suck it, I'll get it. Like, I'll try it. Like, I haven't tried it since, you know, for years, and I'm not going to lie, I don't like it. It's not as good as C4, so I'm a little upset that I have, like, this container of No Explode. I'm real big into C4, but I blame Akira Tozawa and those Shake It Up videos for this purchase.
I feel bad because Tony Nese was over there, and Akira Tozawa just tweeted something random, and then Tony Nese just tweets back, just go to bed. That's all he says. And again, I would
totally imagine.
Yeah, we'd not be surprised if they happened to be in the same room while this was happening at like 4 a.m. over in Japan.
But, I mean, when you're over there in those dojos, like, a lot of times, like, those dudes, like, they're up all night just, like, doing stuff because, I mean, so I can only imagine it probably took hours, just, like, more than, like, hang out and he's just, like, I'm tired. I just want to go sleep.
I don't think Akira Tozawa was sleeping. I can't picture that.
Well, hey, if you want to keep your spot in Dragon Gate, you got to get on his Vine. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah.
That's the secret.
All right, Akuma, you may go ahead and plug away yourself.
Well, obviously this weekend I have ISW coming up. We've been discussing that all night. Next weekend I will be wrestling in a tournament to crown the first Wrestle Jam champion. They have a bunch of pretty good names that I'm really excited about being in the tournament with. Myself, Hollow Wicked, Biff Busick, JT Dunn, a bunch of other guys.
Oh, wow.
So I'm really looking forward to that. They, believe it or not, have the last tripod site. Their website is wrestledam.tripod.com. I'm not kidding.
It's the last one.
Oh, Lord.
After that, I will be facing, just found out this earlier in the week, I'll be wrestling Chris Dickinson at Wrestling
Effect. Shit.
So that I'm excited about as well. So I have lots of stuff to look forward to in the month of November. Then the first weekend in December, I'll be going back down to FIP. In general, I touched on this earlier. Don't sleep on FIP. There's some good stuff going on down there. I'm really proud of my matches down there. The Bravados and the Bendejos are having a really good feud down there. Trent Beretta is the FIP World Champion. He's down there killing it every month. So there's a lot of good stuff going on down there that people shouldn't miss out on. You can find those on video on demand. I think they even lowered the price on the FIP video on demand to try and kind of get people to invest in the product a little bit. So I would definitely check that out. On Twitter, I am __Akuma, which makes me difficult to find, but there's a fake me, so I'm stuck with that. I do not have a Vine because I feel like I'm good at Twitter and I've set the bar too high. And my Vine should not be able to compete with my Twitter. I also do not have a t-shirt site yet, but please tweet me and yell at me because my wife has been trying to force me to get t-shirts for about a year. So yell at me and perhaps it will motivate me to get merchandise.
Now, since your wife was kind enough to help you with Skype and she's always very responsive to both Kevin and I, you can plug her Twitter as well.
Honestly, I don't know her Twitter offhand because I just look at her.
Oh, no.
Divorce.
I just turn my head slightly to the left and say, hey.
That's your Twitter.
Yes, that is my Twitter.
Always 140 characters or less.
Yes. Has anyone booked you versus Biff Busick yet, Akuma?
I have wrestled him in Wrestling is Respect once. I suspect we can do better. I liked the match, but I think we can have a better match. So I'm hoping we cross paths at some point in this tournament. But, yeah, I definitely want some more of Biff Busick. Biff Busick and Drew Gulak are both two guys. Just what they're doing with each other makes everyone want to wrestle them. And I would like to put myself on that list of guys that want to wrestle those guys.
Yeah, get on it, Wrestle Jam. Make it happen.
Definitely. Well, Jigsaw and Grant Akuma, I want to thank you both so much for being a part of the show tonight. I hope this was a lot of fun. And hopefully we can do this again. Hopefully you can walk away with those ISW tag belts. You can really earn your way back onto the podcast.
Oh, definitely. Thank you guys for having us, man.
Not a problem. Thanks for doing it.
Having time as always. Thanks for having us.
All right. Good night, both of you.
Good night, man.
All right, Kevin. How weird is it for you to be doing a Pro Wrestling Ponderings podcast now, and it is not a fan-to-fan?
Super weird. it's been a really long time since, well, I guess, you know, I do the Cool Kids Table, and then I have a couple other non-wrestling podcasts I do here that talk with Matt and Justin. But like, whenever I listen to, like, I just listened to the Drew Cordero podcast that you and Chris did, and I was like, I can't remember the last time I talked to either of those guys on a podcast.
Pretty weird. The Drew Cordero podcast, by the way, if you have not listened to that, you should definitely do so, because there is a lot of great insight about how to book an individual show. We got a ton of good questions, and I want to thank everyone for sending questions for this show. I thought they were fantastic, and everybody did a great job with the questions for Drew as well. So the listener participation has just gotten better and better, and I think it really makes for a better podcast when we can incorporate others into the show.
I mean, the majority of what we talked about was questions from Twitter. Like, I don't know, what would our show have been without them? Nothing.
Thanks, guys.
Us just dicking around, me probably just nerding it up with Jakara nonsense.
Like, you would be like Chris Farley.
Made that joke plenty of times, but yeah, probably.
Yeah, that's how it usually goes. I just picture you, like, sitting around smiling like a kid in a candy store.
Sure, let's go with that.
So, I think we should talk about Chris Hero coming back, because we don't really get to talk wrestling with each other. You get to talk with Justin and Brad and, you know, and Matt Waters. You get to movie nerd out and talk about Brooklyn Nine-Nine and all that stuff. But
it's a good show. You should be watching it. It's a great show.
I'm gonna give it a shot. I'm gonna let the whole first season happen. Then I'll probably watch it on Netflix or Hulu or
download it. I gave two comedies a shot this year, that and Key and Peele, which Key and Peele's in its third season. And I like Key and Peele, but Brooklyn Nine-Nine actually makes me laugh out loud when I'm watching it, which is super rare.
That's very impressive.
Yes.
So, Kevin, the first question that I have for you. So Chris Hero is coming back to independent wrestling, apparently. That's the rumor going around.
Sure.
The question I have for you is, when is he coming back to Chikara?
Oh, my God. I'm going to still go with never. Though I don't know. I think it's no secret that Chris Hero, I mean, especially if you watch a Smart Mark video shoot interview, that there's issues with him and the company. You know, they say time heals all wounds. I don't know, you know, how each group feels about another. Now that it's been X amount of years for doing so. Also, it might be really good for business if Chris Hero was involved with Chikara somehow, but who knows what it is on both sides. I wouldn't hold your breath. I'd also never say never, but I would say it's highly unlikely you'll see Chris Hero again in Chikara. So you know what? Stop asking me.
I do this for your fans, the people that always ask you. That's why I ask, because it needs to. We need to kill that rumor. We need to put the fire out before it even starts.
You know, I get asked a lot about when is Chikara coming back or what's going on, and I don't know anything. I'm not like Dave Meltzer when it comes to Chikara. Nothing. I'm just a big fan. I can't imagine how many times guys like Jigsaw Nakuma get asked that stuff. Like, get asked that a lot, those guys must get it asked like 30 more times.
I can't even imagine. They must get really annoyed, because I know that I get annoyed when I get asked about it. So
right? It's like, just let it play out. Just let it play out, and then it'll be back sometime.
Okay, Chikara can come back whenever, but there are these really great independent wrestling shows happening this weekend.
Oh, God, yeah.
SW and DGUSA, or any other weekend, like when AIW is running. Ultraman is Black just won the AIW title.
Yeah, go watch AIW, you idiots. You know what? Go watch, on top of all those shows, go to Dragon Gate USA if you want to. Go see ISW. Go to House of Glory Wrestling, which Jigsaw's going to be wrestling on Friday. Or go to Beyond Wrestling's Tournament for Tomorrow 2 show on Sunday as well. There's like so many good indie wrestling shows. Just guess what? Just pretend Jakarta doesn't exist and go watch other great
wrestling.
And
if you have kids, go see Wrestling is Fun. That seems pretty reasonable.
Is that this weekend?
I think that's in a few weeks, but it's, you know, it's a facsimile of Chikara. It's not Chikara, but, you know, especially if you have kids or
it's close enough.
Yeah. You know, it's in Pennsylvania. So if you're in the area, there's all kinds of independent wrestling for all kinds of ages. And with Chris Hero coming back, Kevin, it's a big deal. It feels like independent wrestling has new life here at the end of the year. I think at the end of the year, sometimes there's a bit of a lull with the holidays, with Christmas and all that stuff. But with Chris Hero coming back, it really feels like independent wrestling sort of has a big momentum to end 2013.
I agree with you completely. It's like everything old is new again. Hero's coming back. He's rekindling some older rivalries and companies. He's facing a lot of guys he hasn't faced either before or that he hasn't faced in a while. And it feels like the entire landscape of indie wrestling has completely changed in such a short period of time since he's been gone. Like, you know, the guys who are at top when, you know, the end of 2011 happened, they're not the guys who are headlining companies or are champions anymore. It's a whole different set of names and faces. And so Hero's coming back. There's a lot of fresh matches he has. I don't think him and Adam Cole ever had a singles match before he left. Same with, I think, Gulak and a bunch of other people. And really, I was one of those people who I saw the PWG All-Star Weekend 10 cards, and I was like, you know, it looks like a pretty good double shot, but, you know, an All-Star Weekend, it's kind of missing something. And, like, I think Chris Hero immediately adds some illustriousness to those shows. I think that helps them out a lot. I think Cage of Death looks even better, like a more stacked card with Chris Hero sitting on top in the world title position. I know he's facing Trick Davis and IWA Mid-South. That's a long-time standing rivalry for them, so that's a great choice for him to come back to. Him being in Dreamwave Wrestling will hopefully put some eyes on that promotion, because I know Ryan Rozanski and Adam Test and others have been telling me how great it is. So, yeah, I think...
Let's talk about that Dreamwave card for a minute. There are four main events on that show. Chris Hero... Prince Mustafa Ali is one of them. And if you have never seen Prince Mustafa Ali, he is really, really underrated, really talented. He's been in AEW a lot in the second half of the year for Dreamwave. I have to believe he's going to start getting more bookings. Shane Hollister is wrestling Christian Rose for the Dreamwave Heavyweight Championship. Matt Cage and Nick Brubaker are wrestling in a last man standing match. And a match I know you would love to see this, Kevin. Marche Rocket is wrestling Reed Bentley.
Oh, yeah. Big time Reed Bentley fan, obviously. Like Marche Rocket quite a bit, too. I'm for it. I'm for that match occurring.
And I think you mentioned Chris Hero and Trick Davis. How amazing did it work out for IWA Mid-South that Reed Bentley has been coming... Apparently, he's been coming out to Chris Hero's IWA theme, and he's been using a lot of forearms. So it could work out perfectly for them that they could get to book Chris Hero and Reed Bentley very soon.
That is when Smart Mark Video just fielded a question, you know how Twitter accounts are wont to do, and they just said, now that Chris Hero's back on the knees, who do you want him to face? My answer was obviously the Reed Bentley. That's his Twitter handle, by the way. Because I know Reed Bentley idolizes Hero. I believe he did a clinic or two with him before he headed to WWE a couple years ago. I know he's... I've seen him wear Chris Hero shirts and things like that. Like you said, starting to take some of his stuff and incorporate into his own in IWA Mid-South and the forums and everything else. It makes complete and total sense to me that Reed Bentley and Hero would be a phenomenal feud for IWA Mid-South. And Reed's getting his stock risen by going to all these other places, and he's having a first blood match with Jimmy Jacobs in IWA Mid-South. So he's going to be a top guy for that company really soon. And I'm not kidding when I say him and Hero is the first match I want to see out of everybody else. You know, you can put him against Johnny Gargano, put him against Adam Cole, put him in rematches with Kevin Steen and Davey Richards and those guys. I want to see him and Reed Bentley. I think that has a lot of promise to be really good.
I want to see him versus Christian Rose. I mean, that's probably the number one match that I want to see, because I feel like it's a little bit of a styles clash to an extent, but I think that those two guys can have a really good match, and I think Christian Rose... That's the type of match that he needs to really, I think, get over the hump and start getting more attention put on himself. I think he's done a really good job of that this year. You know, Dreamwave, all the guys he's beaten in Dreamwave and being their champion and being in AEW. But sometimes, you know, you need to have that one match with a bigger independent name that really elevates you and makes your career. And I think for Christian Rose and for Reed Bentley, that person could be Chris Hero.
Do you think Chris Hero would be okay with wrestling a big stupid bird?
I mean, I think it could work out. If he could wrestle a pumpkin head and he can wrestle Eddie Kingston, and I think it could work.
Oh, so you weren't talking about Eddie Kingston when you said pumpkin head?
No, I was talking about Hal Wicken.
Okay.
Fair enough. Yeah,
the literal pumpkin head.
Good one.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're a funny guy. So, I mean, obviously the Johnny Gargano match is going to be... It's going to be phenomenal. I mean, that goes without saying at this point.
Yeah, that's going to be great. And I think a lot of people are wondering, could he be in Ring of Honor for Final Battle? I mean, I think he's going to be one of those guys like the Young Bucks who can kind of write his own ticket. I don't think he needs to sign a contract. I think he's really got all the potential in the world to be kind of the next Colt Cabana, just kind of this big independent star who can make a living being a world traveler, making a name for himself, you know, kind of living off of the fame that he's made for himself as part of the NXT roster, because, you know, that show airs internationally. There's probably a nice gaggle of people overseas who now know who he is. And
he still has his Twitter handle, too.
He has the Twitter handle, and there's a few at least American fans who probably recognize him from NXT, so there is some cachet to him at least being just a part of the NXT product for a little bit. So I think he's going to be just fine. I honestly think, I don't know, I just didn't have a great feeling about him in WWE being a good fit, at least not for now. So I kind of think him being back in the Indies is a great move for him in his career, and he seems to be all happy and jazzed about it, so good for him.
I mean, he came back, and there were seriously like 12 bookings announced in 48 hours.
Yeah, Jesus Christ. He's going to be fine. Everything's going to be okay.
Seriously, how does that happen? Like, there are wrestlers who can't get bookings on certain weekends, and Chris Hero just comes in, and he gets all the bookings. Literally all the bookings.
Yeah. Good for him, man. He's a hustler.
So, of all the matches that he is currently booked for, is there one that you're most excited for?
Huh. I mean, I know his first match back officially is he's facing Hurricane Helms in PWS. But I got to imagine that for a lot of indie wrestling fans, especially since it's going to be an iPay-per-view, the match with him and Gargano is going to kind of be like his return to the indies. And Gargano's no slouch. He's been having some stellar matches this year and for a few years now. And I just really think Chris Hero is going to feel like he has something to prove coming back to the indies, and I think Gargano is going to want to show that he can hang with a guy like Chris Hero before. I think it's a first-time ever match, so I think it's going to be phenomenal. I think it's going to be really, really good. I'm interested to see him and Gulak in CZW, too. I think those guys' styles mesh up really well. You know, I think Hero had a hand in training Gulak back in the day, so seeing how much Gulak has grown and become just a fantastic mat technician, I think him and Hero could really put out a match there that really will surprise some people.
When you talk about how things have changed since late 2011, I mean, it's not that Drew Gulak wasn't on the radar, but the difference between him and then and Drew Gulak now, it's literally a 180-degree difference. I mean, he's the CZW champion. He's getting booked in all these places. His feud with Biff Busick is probably one of the better indie wrestling feuds of the year, just for match quality alone. You know, I think he's really done a great job of going around and getting himself booked in all these places. He's had amazing matches all across the country. So.
He won the style battle too, right?
Yeah, he won the style battle. He's the CZW world champion. Whatever you think of CZW, I think being the CZW champion still means a lot, given that Masada was the champion and was getting booked internationally, and the cachet of that title, I think it still means something. So. And I think Gulak is really taking it in a different direction than a lot of CZW champions prior.
Certainly. I think CZW is now a more well-rounded promotion where, you know, there's plenty of people who say, oh, you know, CZW deathmatch, that stuff's not for me. But I really think they've cultivated a nice roster of guys who have absolutely nothing to do with that. And there's something for everybody on those shows now. So I appreciate that. You know, we talk about wrestling being the circus and you want to have something for everybody. I really do think CZW is doing a pretty darn good job of offering that kind of wrestling for people.
Yeah, Chris Hero and Drew Gulak is probably on my list, number one on my list, which might surprise some people given how big of a Gargano mark I am. But I just think from a stylistic standpoint, and, you know, I think by that point, Chris Hero will have had a number of matches on the independent scene. Maybe he'll get his win back by then. So that is the match that I am the most intrigued for, and it may get me to break my iPay-per-view boycott. That is how much I'm looking forward to it.
Now tell me this. All-Star Weekend, he's facing Adam Cole for the title on the first night. If he loses, he faces ACH. Who does he face if he wins?
Gargano again.
Okay. So I think he's not going to win. And I think Hero and ACH could be amazing.
I think it could go a number of different directions. I think it could be really good. But again, I think there's a little bit of a styles clash, especially for a first time match. So we'll see. I think it's more of an unknown, but obviously I think that PWG crowd is going to be super, super jacked for the return of Hero. So.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
I wonder if they're excited for the Chris Hero PWG promo. That's what I'm excited for. The return.
Hmm. Yes.
Just please no more matches with Joey Ryan. That's all I ask.
Yeah, I'm just like in general, in life.
So what else is going on in independent wrestling? What shows have you been watching lately?
Oh, gosh. I've been mostly watching a lot of Old Chikara stuff lately for the blog, trying to fill in some of the gaps. I think the latest stuff I've watched is Beyond's American Rana and AIW's Gleaming the Cube, which you can read reviews of at pwponderings.com. That's really about it. I know I watched Ebola lately too. That was super fun. I actually rewatched Kevin Steen versus Chuck Taylor last night because why the hell not?
That match was the best possible way to start that tournament. I love Ebola.
Yeah, super good. Probably the best Ebola in a while.
2007?
I liked 08. I liked 08 quite a bit. The crowd was not great, but I thought the wrestling was really good.
Yeah, I don't know. Bola's always good, but this year it felt really good. And I wonder if William Regal's presence had anything to do with it on night two.
William Regal should just go to every show and make everybody step up their game.
That's what I said. If William Regal should just go to every show, and then every independent wrestling show would be amazing.
That would be the best like job ever for him. Just like send me to all the indie shows. Let's get these guys to kick it up a notch. And then he can come back. Because I feel like if anyone's going to be scouting talent, Regal's a good guy to do it.
I mean, people would literally be dying in the ring.
if like A.R. Fox and like Biff Busick weren't already close to death, they really would be if William Regal.
I mean, Chuck Taylor almost killed himself on a dive attempt.
Yeah, if Chuck Taylor is going to do that. In a comedy match, basically.
Yeah. And poor Brian Cage almost.
Let's not talk about that.
Oh, that was
horrifying.
Horrifying, that's for sure.
Trent?
I think it's a requirement that we say Trent.
Yeah. Yeah, that best friends trios match and then his match with Kyle O'Reilly. Trent did some good stuff that weekend.
I think the stint in New Japan really made a difference from his first PWG weekend to his second.
Yeah, maybe. And, you know, like Akuma was saying, people haven't been watching FIP for, you know, one reason or another. And I can't say I have, but I've heard some good things about what he's been doing down there, too.
Yeah,
there's something to that.
There was such a difference. I mean, his DGUSA match that we saw at WrestleCon against John Davis was very forgettable. And
yeah, well, I mean, sorry, John Davis, but come on.
But everything else that I've seen him in since that show has been really, really good, so. Makes me very happy. I like Trent. I said he had like the James Gibson thing going for him. Right. And, you know, he hasn't reached that level, obviously, but
he's still pretty fun.
He's still pretty fun. And he's still very good. And he's Chuck Taylor's best friend now.
I mean, there's a reason why they're choosing him above a lot of other NXT guys who were released around the same time. There's a reason he's the one who's been chosen to fly out to the East Coast and West Coast and stuff for these shows, and other guys have not.
And I'm sure he's pursuing these opportunities as well. You know?
Sure, of course.
You know, he could charge $2,000 and not get booked by anyone, but, you know, he's going to DGUSA, Evolve, PWG, New Japan, FIP. So he's really been hustling, and I think it really shows, and he's gotten a lot better and is very fun to watch.
Trent?
Trent?
Greatest name.
So... We've reached that point. We've talked a little bit about Chris Hero, talked a little news, a little bit about Trent.
And speaking of Chris Hero versus Trent, I want to see it.
That would also be very interesting for a lot of reasons.
Indeed.
So
I want to say they had a couple matches on NXT in the early days of when it went from like reality show to Florida promotion. I remember them being quite good.
And
I bet they'd be better with, you know, no restrictions or so to speak.
Yep.
Wherever else.
So let's get to plugs. Kevin, what do you do on the interweb?
Oh, I do a lot of things on the interweb. Obviously, if you're listening to this podcast, I hope you are aware that I do a weekly podcast called Fan to Fan. I sit down with a wrestling fan, go figure, talk about their unique perspective and story as a pro wrestling fan. It's a lot of fun. I at least enjoy it. So check that out. It comes out every Friday on pwponderings.com. But if you subscribe on iTunes, you get it a little bit earlier. It comes out on Thursday evenings for you. It's also available in syndication on Mondays at the WrestleFolks Podcasting Network. You can follow me on Twitter at KFord13. I also hope if you're listening to this that you're a fan of Chikara, since that's where Akuma and Jigsaw called home for such a long time. And if you are, I highly encourage you to follow at Chikara Special on Twitter for news and other tidbits about Chikara that comes out, as scarce as it may be these days. And a little bit of our wrestling is here and there. And then also follow ChikaraSpecial.com. I review retro Chikara shows and matches, and there's a big backlog of reviews and stuff to read. So if you're wondering about that Johnny Gargano Akuma match or that Jushin Liger Mike Quackenbush versus Jigsaw Shard match, I reviewed them. You could read my thoughts there, and more to come, plenty more to come. And that's about what I do. Oh, also I do the Cool Kids Table podcast here. We talked to Dragon Gate, myself, Brad Green, and Justin Houston. We had an episode on Monday. Go listen to that if you haven't, and follow at DG Cool Kids Table on Twitter. I do want to encourage people, it is the holiday season, so if you're going to be buying stuff for your family or yourself through either Amazon.com or HighSpots.com, please use the banners on PWPonderings.com. Prices and savings and all that is exactly the same. You're just helping out PW Ponderings a little bit when you do that.
See, Kevin, I actually had a bit for that. I was going to say. Yeah, I was going to. So let's pretend you didn't just say that. So Kevin, I have a question for you.
Okay, go ahead.
How would you like to save 25% off on DVDs?
Oh, that sounds heavenly.
So if you go to highspots.com through our link, you can get 25% off your purchase up until Monday. Companies like PWG, PWX, Shimmer, Evolve, DGUSA, WWE DVDs, they are all sold highspots.com. So you can not only save 25%, but you can also support what we do here at Pro Wrestling Ponderings. And Kevin, I know this makes you very, very happy.
I don't know. See, I was kind of hoping I could get something like the Kevin Steen Show, or maybe Old School with Steve Corino. Where can I find those shows?
You can also find them at highspots.com.
What? For 25% off?
Yes.
Get out of here.
Absolutely. You can do that for 25% off. You get the same great DVDs at the same prices. You are supporting your favorite independent wrestlers and companies, and you're also supporting what we do here at Pro Wrestling Ponderings. Everybody wins.
It almost feels like I'd be cheating myself if I didn't take advantage of these great savings.
And Kevin, here's another thing. Now, what if you want to support Pro Wrestling Ponderings, but you don't like independent wrestling? Like, let's say that's somehow possible. Like,
yeah, I don't know. I was going to say, I don't know how that'd be humanly possible, but...
Let's say your mom finds the website and she wants to support.
Oh, dude, she actually did find the Fan to Fan podcast one time. That was terrifying. Sure, I'd love to do that. I'd love to have anybody, whether they're a wrestling fan or not, help out PWPonderings.com.
So Amazon.com sells everything, literally everything. Books, DVDs, Blu-ray players, USB drives... So obviously with Christmas coming up, there are going to be a ton of sales. Everybody basically does their shopping online now, and Amazon's a good place to go. Go to the bottom of our website, click on that banner, and you can support what we do here at Pro Wrestling Ponderings through Amazon and get, again, some great products at the same prices. I know I take advantage of this whenever I buy my books for school and... when I buy Christmas presents for my family and girlfriends. So it all works out, Kevin.
Yes. Yeah, you probably have family members and stuff too who use Amazon. So just if you want to send them a link and say, hey, if you're going to be buying stuff through Amazon, could you use this link? That would be awesome. Because I know whenever I send my parents links or they have questions about what I want for Christmas, I tell them, hey, you usually get it through Amazon. That's the best place to get it. It comes to your doorstep. Free super shipper savings on things, $30 and over. If you have Prime like I do, you can get everything pretty much for free in two days. It's ridiculous. And just tell them, hey, if you're going to buy us through Amazon, could you click on pwponderings.com and go to the bottom and click through Amazon, because that would be extra special. That would make Christmas for me if you did that.
So if Brad wants to buy the girl he's dating the first season of Dads, he can do that?
He would. Actually, he'd buy it for Hanukkah, though, probably.
Fair enough. I mean, that's fair.
So also, Brad, do not buy her the first season of Dads. Don't buy anyone the first season of Dads.
If my girlfriend liked that show, I legitimately don't know if we could date.
Yeah, why would you? That's horrible. she's obviously an idiot. I'm very judgmental of people.
I can tell.
Especially when it comes to their taste in television.
But It's like in High Fidelity, what you like, this stuff matters, right?
Yeah. But yeah. As you said, call me shallow. It's the truth.
This is a great plug segment, by the way. Like, I think this has been the longest we've ever done for plugs.
I thought it was fun.
Twitter.com/JeromePWPEditor is the place to find me, where I argue with people on Twitter, including Chris and Dez.
Is that true?
Yeah, we argue. It's a good time. Good time.
No, it's awful. It's awful following you guys.
Sorry. I mean, we talk about football, which I know you hate, but, you know.
Well, yeah. You know what? I feel like there's been a lot less this year for some reason.
I know. I mean, you know.
I love it.
I know this makes you very happy.
It does.
Less of the football. It doesn't help that the NFC East is terrible. So a lot of your football fans are probably very disenchanted.
And the Redskins are doing terrible. I know that. The Cowboys are doing all right, I think. Is that right?
I know you hate.
Yeah. The Ravens are not doing that great either.
Yeah.
Steelers are doing poorly. I don't know if they're NFC East or not, though. Are they?
No, they're doing really, really awfully. I think it's funny that all of these Eastern teams are doing so poorly, and now there are no Sunday shows for Chikara to run.
Right?
It's sadly ironic for Chikara.
It is.
They wouldn't be home free in Philadelphia. Yeah,
but it seems like this year, except for like my two or three Cowboys fans friends, that everyone is pretty miserable when it comes to, unless their fantasy team is doing good. That's really what I think most people care about now.
I draw the line on Twitter with fantasy football. I don't care about your fantasy team. I just don't.
My roommate and his friends have something called the Cuddle Bunny Cup, which is like this really embarrassing trophy that the last player person gets. That they have
to. It's like the league.
It's a lot like the league. Except for they don't have to display in their house. They have to bring it with them anytime those people are hanging out together. So say those guys go out to dinner somewhere, the loser of the Cuddle Bunny Cup has to have the trophy with them.
That is amazing.
Yeah, so people who maybe didn't give a shit about their team in years past are now eyeing it like a hawk every single week. So this is amusing for me as an outsider who has absolutely nothing to do with any of this and can just relish in the loser's tears. That's really what I'm most interested in.
You're a very angry young man, Kevin.
I'm not. I'm actually smiling right now at the thought of this.
So yeah, go listen to all of our podcasts. I did Chikara DVD reviews when they existed, and you can also go read my thoughts on the same matches that Kevin wrote about. And you can think about who is more right and who's more wrong. I like to think that I'm right most of the time, but I'll let you be the judge.
But you also currently review like Shine DVDs and AAW DVDs. You know, there's things.
PWG. I review a lot of companies.
There you go.
Here's the dirty little secret about Shine. They're really easy shows to write and review, so that's why they get done so quickly.
There you go. Whatever, you're still reviewing them.
They're 2 hours long. That makes me want to watch and get through them very quickly when I have no time to live and exist.
That's right.
So thanks, everybody. And we want to thank you for listening to this podcast all the way through. Go support us on the Twitters as well, twitter.com/PWPonderings, where we do results, links to articles, all that good stuff. We should be having some results coming up for AAW, plus a whole lot more. And thank you again for the continued support. Oh, iTunes reviews. Go leave those 4 or 5 star reviews. And that'll also make us very happy. So supporting us financially, leave those iTunes reviews, and it'll be a Merry Christmas for all of us. Kevin can get drunk off the 4 star reviews, right? That happens.
I don't know, dude, but 'tis the season for lots of alcohol.
Absolutely. So thank you for listening. Have a good night.
Steve Blackman rules.